Well, good morning. Good to see you all here today. And it's good to see many visitors with us. We've been going through a series called Charting a Good Course. And just kind of taking the analogy there of a sailing ship that leaves port and started off talking about how this country was established with the explorers and such that came here in the 1500s, 1600s, and how they had to be careful to chart a course to bring them safely across the Atlantic to the shores of Newfoundland and Labrador, where they were able to establish communities and so on. And as we've been talking about this, we've talked about the different courses in life that we need to chart. Whether it's a course of our family life, whether it's a course of just finding wisdom and knowledge and understanding for the things of life. Thank you very much, Evan. Whether it's a course of how we work, how we achieve, how we handle our finances, all of that stuff is here in Scripture. God has laid it out because he wants us to be able to live a good life, to be able to chart a good course, to be able to leave port and arrive safely at a destination. And this morning we're going to look at the topic of friendship, the course of friendship. And the Bible has a lot to say about friends and a lot of stories about friends. And it's very interesting when you start looking at it and just the instructions that are there. You know, researchers today are concerned that in today's fast-paced and highly organized lifestyles where we got everything slotted out and times for everything and just enough time to leave this activity, to get to this activity, that we're not leaving enough time just to develop relationships. And psychologists and psychiatrists, they see the results of that in their offices as people come in with all kinds of burdens and problems and questions and issues in life. And I love that line in Crocodile Dundee, that movie, when is that, 1988 or something that came out. But they're talking about this woman who's got some emotional problems, and Crocodile Dundee asks the question. He says, "What's the matter? Ain't she got no mates? Ain't she got no mates?" There, in plain English. "Doesn't she have any friends?" You know, in Australia, he talks about back in his town in Australia, where if you got a problem, you just go down to the corner store and you talk to the clerk there, and before you know it, all your problems are gone. Everybody else knows about your problems too, but your problems are gone. You know, you've had somebody to share them with. And the friendship there is valuable. Not enough people are finding time to cultivate the value of friendships. A study was done that found that homelessness, marriage breakdowns, unhealthy lifestyles, financial bankruptcies often were a result of the lack of true friendships. In marriages, they found that the friendship of one's spouse is 5 times more important than sexual satisfaction in marriage. And you know, if you look at the news articles and headlines, you know, if you read Cosmo magazine, well, I don't read Cosmo magazine, but I see the covers there in the checkout counter, you know, and you read those titles there of the articles that are in the magazine, and they kind of come at it from, you know, spice up your marriage, and then they have all kinds of tips about how to spice up your marriage sexually. And so that the implicit message there is that if your sex life is really good, then your marriage will be good. It's the other way around. Your marriage has to be good in order for your sexual relationship to be satisfying and fulfilling. They've even found that at work, if people don't have friends at work, people that they're connecting with there, they are 7 times more likely to be disengaged and finally just leave and walk away. Obviously, friends are important. It's a big part of our life, and God talks to that issue in his word. In you know, as we think of this charting a course of sailing across this sea of life, and when it comes to friendship, we first of all, we leave port, and the thing that we need to understand is this: the founding principle is that isolation is not an option. Sometimes we hear people say, "Well, I don't need friends. You know, they interfere with my life. They impose their views on me. They say things I don't like. They take up my time. You know, I just want to be left alone." And that's, as we've already talked about, very unhealthy. The fact is, we know that, you know, some people are more introverted than others. By the way, a simple definition of introversion, extroversion is that if you get recharged by having alone time, you know, when you get tired out and stressed out and that, and you just want to be alone, you're an introvert. If you are stressed out and tired and you need some encouragement, and so you find that with other people, then you're an extrovert. The introvert likes to be alone to recharge his batteries. The extrovert wants to be with other people to recharge his batteries. But the fact is, some people are more introverted, but everybody still needs friends. We still need people in our lives. And, you know, oftentimes Christians are guilty sometimes of spouting these super spiritual sounding silliness statements, really. For example, well, I don't need anyone in my life because I've got Jesus. He's enough for me. That's all I need. It's just my relationship with the Lord. You know, that's all I need, and I don't need anybody else. I've heard people say that. And they spend time just sitting by themselves, reading their Bibles. You know, that's their worship time. And, you know, the Bible says, well, in fact, there's a story in the Bible of a man who at one time lived on this earth with nobody else. Adam. The Bible talks about his creation, that he was there all by himself in the Garden of Eden with this relationship with God. God would come and walk with him, and he could talk to God, and he could develop this totally unhindered relationship with God with no interferences from other people in his life. And you know what God's assessment of that situation was? It's not good for him to be alone. God said, it's not good. He needs somebody in his life as well. It's not to say that God is not enough. Obviously, we know it. We understand what that verse, or what we say when we sing that or say that, that Jesus is enough for me. There's even a song with that line in it. But it doesn't mean that we don't need anybody else. In the passage that Pastor Ben read for us earlier in Ecclesiastes 4, we have here in verses 4, or verses 7 and 8, I think one of the saddest statements in the Bible. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. He was all alone. And all he did was spend his days working and building up wealth and finally even having nobody to leave it to in the end. The Bible is very clear in the fact that it's not good for us to be alone. So friendships are important. We need to set our sails, and in setting the sail to chart a good course across this ocean of life, what's the first thing we need to do? Well, make sure that you choose the right friends. Make sure that you choose the right friends. You know, friends are, there's so many analogies that we could use for friendship, but one that came to my mind is friends are kind of like a framework or a structure around which you are going to build your life. You're going to influence them, they're going to influence you, but the friends that you choose are part of this structure. I remember in my first house that Shelley and I lived in Hamilton, and I wanted to extend the rec room downstairs a little bit, and so I went to the lumber store and I got some 2x4s, and I wasn't really fussy about which 2x4s I was picking, and I just pulled them off the pile and put them in the car and took them home. And as I started working with them, I found out that they weren't all straight. Some of them had little bends in them. And you know, at first, as I looked at it, I thought, oh, this one's got a little bend in it that way. Okay, well, that doesn't matter. I'll just bang it up there. And this one's got a little bend in it that way. Okay, so I'll just alternate it. And, you know, this one bent out. I'll put this one in. And I banged it. I didn't really know too much about building walls and framing things up. You know, it was impossible afterwards to get the drywall on those studs properly. I wasn't choosing the right raw material for this framework. And Proverbs has a verse that talks about friendship. It says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Wise friends are like straight 2x4s. They're going to help you frame up your life and build it in a good way. And when I think of that line there, a companion of fools suffers harm, I think of a little story I read about a farmer who decided to go out and get rid of some pesky crows. And so he goes out in the barnyard and he fires off his shotgun at this flock of crows that was out there cawing away. And what he didn't know is that the family parrot had escaped earlier that day and was flying around with those crows. And as he carried that poor wounded bird back into the house, the children were all upset, and they said, "What happened? What happened?" He said, "Well, Polly chose the wrong crowd to hang around with. The companion of fools suffers harm. Choose your friends wisely." Doesn't mean you can't befriend somebody who's a fool. Maybe they need some befriending. Befriending is a different thing than choosing somebody as a friend who's going to have influence and in your life. Well, the fact is that you are going to be like what you spend time with. One of the primary ways that God directs us in life is through the influence and input of our friends. And you know, if we're going to get influence and input from our friends, it means that they must be able to speak into your life, and you must be humble enough and willing enough to accept what they say into your life. It's important. Proverbs says that, you've heard that verse, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." In the NIV, the New International Version, it takes that verse, it words it this way, that wounds from a friend can be trusted. Because even though a friend might say something to you and that you think hurts you, or that you think is maybe critical of you, they're saying it because they want to help you. Even Oscar Wilde, the famous author and playwright, he made the statement, "A friend stabs you in front." Right? You're not getting stabbed in the back. It hurts, but we need people to speak into our lives. The key here in this verse is choosing wise friends. It may mean that we must make some adjustments in our life, get rid of some toxic friends. You know, internet is great for finding information. I just Googled choice of friends or importance of friends, and there was one article that came up about toxic friendships and all the things there about people who say things and do things in your life that creates a toxic relationship. You want to stay away from those things. You might need to make some changes and drop some of those toxic relationships out of your experience. I heard of a man who called up somebody, and the guy wasn't there, so he got the phone message and said, "Hi, this is Bill. I'm not home right now. Leave your name and number. Just want you to know I'm making a few changes in my life. If I don't call you back, you're one of the changes." That's putting it out there. Pretty straightforward. We might have to make some changes in our lives in order to set our sails the right way. What about friends? What can we, you know, what does the Bible have to say about friendship? And I just want to quickly go through some of the things that are listed here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the passage that we read earlier. You know, we know this song, "I get by with a little help from our friends." Well, the biblical notion of friendship is more than just getting by. It's to help you prosper. It's to build you up. It's to make you wise. It's to make you successful in life. So you want to choose friends who are wise and who are able to build you up and who are successful themselves. Somebody who's successful knows how to get there. That's the kind of person we want to help us out along the way. In Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work." Friends are helpers. Friends help us out in life. You can get a whole lot more done with somebody working at your side than you can trying to do it all by yourself. I just think about my experiences shingling a roof. And I started in on the job. This is when my boys, Nathan and Andrew, were in high school at the time. And I started in the job by myself, and it was tough. I was glad when they got out at 4 o'clock and were able to come home and help me out. You ever tried to lay adhesive ice shield by yourself? That's a tough job. I love what it says here. "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. They can lend a hand. They can help you out. They can help you do the job better and faster than you ever could by yourself." They're helpers. Friends are helpers. A second thing we see about friends, they're supporters. Now, every now and then, we need to be helped up. We need to be supported. Might even need to be propped up, depending on what's happening in your life. You might need people around you that are just holding you up so that you can get through life. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says this, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. That's what it's all about. That's what friendship is all about. But pity the man. Pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Friends are important. We talk about friend in need. When you're in need, somebody who helps you, that's a friend in need. There are times when we fall, we need help back up. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing that says, oh, you're a weak person, you can't make it by yourself. No, there are times that we can't make it by ourselves. And we do need people there that are going to help it up. A fallacy of our society is this notion that I can make it by myself, you know, I got everything under control. As we heard this morning in our class, our Carl Truderung was teaching, and he told us an instance in his life where it was only the presence of friends that helped him through. Friends are encouragers, one of the benefits of friendship. You know, sometimes the world is a very cold and harsh place, and we need a warm hand, we need a hug, we just need a kind word. You know, that's what happens on Sunday morning. I was talking to somebody this past week just about church and their involvement. They said, you know what, I look forward so much to coming to church on Sunday. I just love the friendliness of the people, the warmth and the encouragement that I get when people come up and just ask me how I'm doing and have an encouraging word for me. You know, when you see somebody going through a difficult situation, I wish I could make that better. I wish I could go in there and take care of that issue, that whatever it is that's bothering them, but we can't. We can't change their circumstances, but we can encourage them at least with a word, like I said, with a hug, with a handshake. It says in Ecclesiastes 4:11, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? You know, that warmth there, that we just need the warmth of friendship. It's tough to stay warm in a cold world all by yourself. And I love this last one in Ecclesiastes 4. Friends are defenders. Now, sometimes we are attacked by others. Sometimes it's nice to have somebody who will just speak up for us and defend us. Sometimes we're attacked by circumstances, whatever. To have somebody with us who will stand with us and fight through it with us. It says here in verse 12, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. I remember hearing a story, a policeman was sharing about experiences in the force, and he talked about how when one of the toughest situations to go into is when you're called to settle down a pub brawl. And you go down into this place, he said there's fists and beer mugs and chairs flying all over the place. He says, to be able to stand there in the middle of that with my partner behind me and know that he's got anything that comes that way and I've got anything that comes this way, he said, we can stand together. We can manage in that situation. You got somebody that's got your back. You got somebody that can help you in the case of an attack. Fighter pilots have their wingman who flies with them. You know, these are so many benefits that we receive from friendship. Supporters, encouragers, defenders. What was the other one that we said, the first one? Helpers. Those are the benefits we receive. But also, you know, to have friends, the Bible says that we have to show ourselves friendly, which means that we can't think of friendship as just a one-way street. I'm going to get all these benefits coming towards me. We also have to return those benefits to those around us. We're trying to help each other arrive safely at the end of life. Well, let's just think about arriving safely for a minute and see what the Bible has to say about that. Well, the most important thing there is to make sure that you're following the path of life. We started out by saying, you know, make sure you choose good friends and make sure you stay on that course that will lead you in the way of life. You need to make decisions. You need to make choices in life. Those choices that you make are going to determine the outcome in your life. And Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, has a warning about that when it says in 16:25, when, that's not the verse I wanted. Sorry, I gave Bev the wrong verse. Okay, let me see if I can find it here. Yes, There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Wow. Those are somber words. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. It's a warning for us. Make sure that you are choosing the right way. Make sure that you're making wise choices, that you're choosing wise friends, friends who are going to walk in the way. We know the way that God wants us to walk. Why would you choose friends that are walking a different way and that are going to take you off some other path? That might be the way that seems right to them, but we need those who are going to help us stay on the path of righteousness and truth as we seek to find the way of life. We need to choose right friends. There's a right way to walk when it comes to establishing our family, our families based on godly principles. There's a right way to operate with our finances according to the principles of God's word. There's a right way to do work. The Bible talks about being conscientious at work, working not just to please our human employers, but to please Jesus, as if we're working for him, because he's going to be the one who ultimately judges everything that we do in this world. And here, choosing friends that are wise and right. Now the story, or the Bible has a wonderful story about friendship when it talks about David and Jonathan. And Jonathan was the son of Saul, King Saul. And David was a young man about his same age, and judging from the story, they probably met each other when they were about 17 or 18 years of age. And it says there that when they met, that the soul of Jonathan was knit together with the soul of David. There was a tight friendship that developed between them. And you can see all through their experience how Jonathan was being pulled away in many ways by his father's bizarre behavior and immoral behavior, and that friendship was often strained due to circumstances, but they always stood by each other. And in one situation, in the lowest experience of David's life at that point, when he had to run from Saul for his life, and Jonathan arranged a meeting with him out in the field, and it's a wonderful story to read, how Jonathan got away from everything that was going on in his father, the king's court, and he went out and he met with David out in that field. And he encouraged him, and they embraced, and they swore their friendship to one another, and they covenanted that friendship. That's what got David through that situation. And Jonathan was the wise friend, the supportive friend, the helper, the encourager, the defender that David was able to rely on to become the man that he ultimately became. As we think of arriving safely as well, I think of this, that if we are following Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you've committed your life to him, you've made him the Lord of your life, and you're seeking to obey his words, you're seeking to follow him, you're seeking to do his will in all things in your life, you're going to produce fruit in your life. There's going to be outcomes and results of things that you do, but we want to produce fruit that lasts. We can't do this. You can't do this by yourself. You know, it's nice to leave legacies in this world, whether it's legacies of financial endowments or whether it's accomplishments in the various fields of endeavor, whether it's organizations, but it's better to leave legacies that last forever, that spiritual fruit, things that are done for Jesus Christ. And we find this in John 15. Jesus talks about friendship. He says this, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead," he says, "I've called you friends." Jesus is calling his disciples, he's calling us his friends. "For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." He's opening up to them in a whole new relationship of that of a friendship. And then he says this. This is so profound. "You did not choose me, but I chose you." I chose you. Jesus Christ has chosen you. If you are a follower of him today, he's chosen you as his friend. "And I've appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." You know, as I thought about that, to try and get your head around that Jesus has chosen me as his friend. I think back to that passage in Ecclesiastes 4 of all the things that friends do for each other. When we work for him, we're helping him. Friends are helpers. Friends are encouragers. Say, oh, he doesn't need any encouragement. You know, he's God. He's up in heaven there. What do you mean? As we work for him, as we do work, that's encouraging his heart. It's blessing his heart to see his children walking in his way and working for him. We're supporting his work. Defending. Does Jesus need defending? What do friends do when somebody speaks about their other friend? Wait a minute. Don't talk that way about my friend. Why are you saying that about that person? He's my friend. We hear lots of things being said about Jesus. What are you saying about Jesus? Don't talk that way about my friend. He's my friend. Do you know what he's done for me? Do you know how he has helped me? Let me tell you. We have a friend in Jesus Christ. We often think of the friendship as the benefits coming from him to us. But friendship is a two-way street. Benefits flow back to him as well. As I think of that truth of Jesus as our friend, and the fact that he chose me, he chose you to be his friend. He's the kind of friend that everyone needs. He's the one who went to the cross for us because he loved you so much and he called you as his friend and he's reached out to you and he laid down his life so that you could have eternal salvation. We're going to sing a song now as we prepare for communion. As we come to this communion table this morning, I want you to think about not just Jesus as your friend, but you as Jesus' friend. And thank him for what he's done for you. Thank him for his sacrifice to pay the penalty for your sin so that you could have eternal salvation and come into a relationship with him that will last forever. Let's stand and sing this song. We're going to have our communion at this time. If you know Jesus as your Savior, if you're his friend, he's your friend, we invite you to take part of the table with us. The pieces of bread that are wrapped in cellophane are for those who require gluten-free. And we're going to join together as we remember the love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us today.